daf is daf samech zayin, we got to the very last line of samech vav, which is the beginning of the next parak. So the Mishnah says the bottom, nara hamurasa, this is nara murasa, okay, this is one of the hardest parakim in Shas. So nara murasa, so a woman who's engaged, erisin, but not yet nisuin. So avia ubala mefirin nedereha. So her, both her father and her husband have the ability to mefir any nedarim. So the age of nara murasa, we said, what's the age again? Remember?
12 and a half.
Exactly. Under 12, she's a katana. Under when she's a katana, the halacha is that we'll see what the, I guess the halachas are. But from 12 and a half, she's a nara, and when she gets engaged, her husband and father both have the right to be made for any nedarim that she takes. So the Ron just points out here before he turned the page. He says, "Nara marasa via bala mafir nedareha afilu nedarim shenader ba'oda penuya." Let's say she took a nether before she got engaged. The arus mefir bekodmin b'shutfusa da'av k'dis v'gomar. The Gemara is going to tell us that even though at the time she was single and the husband had no rights over her, if she gets engaged, those old nedarim are still part of her, and the husband has the right in ownership to be made for the nedarim along with the husband. V'nara denaket la'afuke. Why did they choose nara? La'afuke bogeres she'ein la'via rishisba. When she's above the age of 12 and a half, she's called a bogeres. She's mature. The father has no rights over her. Ve'inu mefir nedera. The aris nami below shutfusa da'av lo matzi mefir. And the aris alone, the man, that is not allowed to be made for the nedarim without her husband, her father. Aval hua dinami debas yiral shana shenidra nivtakin da'av aris mefir nedera. So it's also when it's younger, even by the age of a katana, under the age of 12 and a half, under the age of 12, even 11, also they have the right to its partnership. It's lav dafka those 6 months. It's 12 and a half and under. Now, it can't be too little because she has to be old enough for the nedarim to be chal. If she's a 2-year-old, the nether won't be chal. I think the Gemara says somewhere that what's the age of a nether? So as long as she's aware that who she's taking a nether from or this concept of Hashem exists, then she's old enough to take a nedarim. Okay, so the Mishnah continues now, going on to page on Daf Samech Zayin. Hefir ha'av lo hefir ha'bal. Let's say the husband is the one who's going to nullify, rather the father nullifies the nether, but not the husband. Or hefir ha'av lo hefir ha'av, the other way. Husband's mefir, but the father is not. Ain't a move for it. It's not nullified. Ve'in tzarech lomar shekayim echamhem. And needless to say, if one of the parties, either the father or the husband, were to be mekayim and says, "I'm not only going to be made for it, but I'm going to maintain the nether," then certainly that's going to make the nether continue to exist. In other words, the Mishnah is saying that you need both parties to be made for it for the nedarim to be batal.
The Rosh seems to say that it's dafka the shana. Hasmuch of the galdos is dafka from 11 to 12 and a half. This would be nogea. And then he mentions what you said about the l'shem min azra. The bottom line. He said it sounds to say both. It's only that year that it could go that low, and it requires that condition you mentioned.
Okay, let's see. So maybe that's his. It's possible that that's the age he thinks. Could be the Gemara says, I don't remember. But maybe it's that that's the age. Here we go. Yeah, so maybe the age of what's the age, a typical age of a girl knowing who she's being nethered to? They must be the age of 11. That's what he says. But that could obviously change. I don't think he has a hard, a hard lined 11-year-old girl. It's probably a be'erech. That's my guess. And the Ron also says Yudalf, the age of 11. He also says that. But I can't imagine it's Dafka 11. I'm still looking at a footnote here. Okay, nothing here. Okay, the Gemara now says, "Hainu resha aviu bala mefir nidereha." So what's the shaila here? So I guess the problem is the seifa. We already learned from the resha that you need the father and the husband together to be made for nedarim. So why is the mishnah, the seifa, have to start saying the father without the husband doesn't work, the husband without the father doesn't work? That's pretty obvious once we've said it in the mishnah in the beginning. So the Gemara explains, Mal the same. What would you have thought had you had the Reisha alone? You would have thought that, oh, Avia Ubala. When it says that in the beginning of the Mishnah, Naru Marasa Avia Ubala, you might interpret it to mean Avia Obala. So therefore, they have to be very clear in the Seifa that no, one without the other doesn't work. You need both parties. So the Seifa is simply coming to clarify the Reisha. Again, Mal the same. Oh, Avia Obala Katana. Katani, Kamashman, you need both parties in order for the Nadarm to be Mefer. Okay, pretty straightforward, I think. So the Gemara says now, Vein Sarach Lomar Shkai Mechameham, and needless to say, the Mishnah had told us that if one of them, either the father or the husband, is Mekayim, it says, I want to keep the Nadarm, so it makes no difference what the other party were to do, even if the other party were to be made for it, doesn't make difference once one of them has been Mekayim it already. So the Gemara says, Lamali Lemisne Hashta, why do you have to teach us? Hashta Yesh Lomar Hefer Zebelozer, Lo Klum, Kai Mechameham Lamali. What's the need for that? Once you say one of them stays quiet, let's say the father is made for it, but the husband does nothing, and we say the nether's good, so certainly that if the husband's going to be mekayim, it works, it seems completely unnecessary. So, tzrich lemisnei, so again, lamli tzrich lemisnei, why do you have to teach us about some girsos there? It seems much of anything that important about the girsos. It takes out the word tzricha. So, Gemara says, ki yitzrich le, when do you need this case? Kigon de hefer echar mehem v'kayim echad v'chazar ha-mekayim v'nishal ha-kamaso. So, interesting case. The father, let's say, is made for the nether. Then the husband's mekayim the nether. So, the nether is chal still. But then the husband, chazar ha-mekayim, the husband in this case, is chazar. So, there's no longer a kiyim v'nishal ha-kamaso, right? He therefore asks a shayla. He removes the kamaso. Ma'al the same Mai Doka Ha'akre. So what would you think? That which he was Mekayim is now uprooted. And therefore you would think what? It's the Nether's Mefer? But him removing the Hakama, all it does is no Kama. There's no Hefer Hafar either. So let's see. See, look at the Ran here. Okay, so you see the Ran says Mal the same Mai Doki Ha'akre. Ubahfara de Mekayim Lhude Sagi de Ida Kvar Hefer. So right now the way the Ran's understanding of the Gemara, maybe it's Pashup Shah the Gemara, that when he's being Oker the Hakama, in essence he's being made for the nether. Why would he be Oker the Kama unless you're trying to be made for that very nether? So in one full soup you're going opposite extremes. Okay, there's this neutral position where you just stay quiet. You do hey ha kama, you're mekayim. You're oka the kama. You don't go to neutral. Now you go all the way back to the opposite side of being mefer, because that's otherwise why would you be being oker? Why would you oker the hakama? So it must be you're being mefer in essence. I think that's what it's saying. So you would therefore think that it's a good hafara, right? A couple days ago, the father already did the hafara. I did a hakama. Now I'm being oker the hakama, which turns into hafara. So maybe that should work as a hafara sometime. And the Gemara explains, Kamash Malan, Demefin Shneim Basachas. No. In order for it to work, you need them in both Basachas. We'll read the Ran in a second. So you need them both Basachas. So what it sounds like, actually, let's say you did the Hafara, let's say in the same given time. What's Basachas? I don't know if it means the same exact time. There must be some range we're talking about. But let's say, in theory, it's possible that the husband could do the Hakama, and then the She'ela on the Hakama in this very same moment as the father had done the Hizafara, maybe there would work, such a case would work then. That's what it sounds like from reading the Gemara straight. So let's read through this Ran now. The Ran says around seven narrow lines up, Kamash Malan Da'ad Demefir and Shneim Bebas Achas. No, it doesn't work. You need the Hafar to be both at the same time. Kolomar Shelo Yafsik Beinecha L'Chavero. There can't be any interruption. L'Chavero Davar Shu Ma'akev Hafar Kigon Hakamadai. You can't have it doesn't seem to be an interruption in time. It has to be an interruption in concept. That once the husband did hakama, that's already an interruption from the father's hafara. You need to have a hafara, even though the husband may do a hafara, let's say a week later, as long as there's no interruption of a kiyum, that's considered one elongated ba'as achas. But once there's a moment where he did hakama, that negates the connection, even though later on he might remove the hakama. Once there was a hakama, that negates the connection between the hafara of the father and the later hafara of the husband. So let's see the Ron continuing. Since that moment, he wasn't subject to do a hafara because he did a kama. Like the first afar of the father is already gone because he had no one to join with. Now, if the father were to do it, sounds like if he were to do another afar now after the husband has also done afar, then maybe it would work. You need a second time around for the father. Mihu says the Ran, b'kihai sagi. In this situation, it's enough. Shelo tomar ein afar acher afara. So there's a concept which we didn't see this yet. You cannot do hafara after hafara. That klal, whatever that means, does not apply here. In this situation, the father can do a second hafara here. But the Rambam says, he goes on to say, Aval b'divrei Rambam zal near dechol shechala hakama bein hafara dechad lhafara didach shuv einu yuchal hafara. He says, oh, no, not true. Once there was a moment in time where the husband did hakama between the hafara of the father and his own hafara, the father's no longer able to do another hafara. It's done. There's no going back. Once it was in Mayfair, it was sealed as a hakama, as a good nether. You can never go back on it anymore. So that's machlokes. What's behind it? I'm not sure. Miu says the Ran, Bivasachas lav dafkum. It says Bivasachas. It doesn't mean literally in the same second. Dafil Mayfair zes shachris v'chaver arvis sagi. Like we said in the beginning, one could do it in the morning, one could do it in the evening, as long as there's no interruption in between of some type of ma'akev of the hafara, meaning there can't be a hakam in between. Okay, so I think it's enough to do in the round for now. Okay. So again, the Mishnah, back to the Gemara now. Gemara explained to us what the need for the case was of a situation where if one of the parties were being making the nether, then there could never be then the hafara wouldn't work. Father did hafara, husband did hakama, husband was oker the hakama, which in essence is a hafara, that does not work as a hafara anymore, unless it's babasachas. So that was machlokas Ran. The Ran's first opinion says if the father were to be hafara again, then it would work. But the Rambam says once it was already sealed off as a good nether, then you can no longer do a hafara anymore. So Gemara now says a little bit more than halfway down the page, the two dots v'nara hamurasa, a girl who's engaged, ha'avia ubaila mefir nedarah, both her father and her husband together are mefir her nedarim minal. And how do we know this? So Rabba teaches us, the pasuk tells us, Vim haya ayu siel ish, if you are to get married to a woman rather to a man, fi nidareha alaha, and she has nidarm on her, she has nidarm that she's obligated to keep, mikan linar hamurasa shavia ubala mefirim nidareha. From here, this is a source that both the father and the husband have the rights to be made for nidarm. How do we see this from the pasuk? So if you look at the Ran here, the Ran says three wide lines down. He quotes from the Gemara. We don't need to read the bowl, that's just straight from the Gemara, it seems like. But go to the four lines down, which starts nearly. Nearly the Hachikama. The Ran says, what it seems to me is as follows. And this seems to be a decent sized Ran here. Actually, no, it ends at the bottom of the page. So what? No, I'm on the wrong page, sorry. Yeah, it doesn't go too much on the next page. But he says as follows. Nearly, it appears to me that the Hachikama, the way you read the drasha is as follows. The Chavin de Lenusuaksiv Kra Achrina Hainu im Base Isha Nadra Kinfarsh the Kama. There's another passage that refers to Base Isha, which refers to her being married. Al Karchan Hai Barusa Mitokma. Therefore, this passage in this context must be referring to an Arusa. The trait cried by Nesu'a Lamna, you don't need two psukim talking about Nesu'a. So once we have a different pasuk elsewhere that's clearly about Nesu'a, this other pasuk which talks about a relationship with a man must be referring to Arusa. The Chayim de Barusa Misokim, Al Karchan Islan Lamemer, the Vav Mosval in Rishon. So now that's a Arusin, that the Vav in the pasuk here that says V'im Hayu, so that Vav is going to add on to the previous stated situation, Dil Elmine, because what did it say beforehand? V'Hashem Yisachla Kieni Avia Osa. It says in the pasuk beforehand that the father has a right to undo her nedarim. Ubasrei. After that, it's written in Bayom Shema Isha Yani Osa Lamar Shavia Ubala Mefir Nedera. So this pasuk is in the middle of talking about the father and the husband. V'Asi Shaper Barusa Dechem Da Barusa Lo Yatsa Barusa Av Dinhu Delo Leifer Arusa Lachudei. And the Sfar says around it, he brings two things. One is the Pasuk. The Pesukim clearly indicate that it's referring to the father and the husband. Let's get the Pesukim out here. Make this a little bit clearer. This Pasuk is where, like, Matos, right? Exactly. Which Pasuk is this? Bamidbar Lamed Zayin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, so the Pasuk says, as we send it around, just read it outside. Vimhaini avia osa biyom shamo akol nedereha vesera asher asan asher lo yakum. If the father already hears of this and he is made for it, it doesn't work. And that very Pasuk says Hashem yisfach lo ki heini avia osa, and Hashem forgives her because they know nedarim, because the father prevented the nedarim from being chal. The very next Pasuk says v'im, the letter vav there, v'im hayos yaliish, if she's married to a man unidera leh omiv tasfaseha asher asan Hashem v'chulei. So we see the juxtaposition of the father to the husband. The letter vav tells us you need both of them. We know that this pasuk can be referring to her being married to an ish, because that's a different pasuk, so it must be that she's engaged to a man. So when she's engaged to a man, both the father from the previous pasuk and the husband from this pasuk together are the ones to be mefer the nedarim. That's the drasha. And the Ran says the svar for this, since when she's engaged, she's not entirely removed from the father's rishus, it makes sense the father still has some control and some rights to be mefer her nedarim. That's as far the Ran explains to us. Okay, so Gemara now asks, after establishing the source, V'eima haikra b'nisuoksiv. So the Ran already alluded to this point to us, but the Gemara asks, how do you know this pasuk is referring to Arusa? Maybe it's really referring to when she's married, it's Nesua, and when she's Nesua, the father still might have rights to be made for the Nadarm along with the husband. The Gemara says, can't be, because we have another pasuk, V'mbeis Isha Nadra. That's talking about a case of when she's married. So this pasuk can be talking about the same case. It must be talking about Arusa. Gemara says, why not? Maybe Ema Tarva ben Nisuin. Maybe they have two pesukim to teach me both about Nisuin. V'chit Ema Trei Kroi ben Nisuin Lamali. So why would you need two pesukim to teach me about Nisuin? Lamali Meimar. Shena Baal Mefer Bekodman, to teach me a halacha that the husband's not allowed to be Mefer Nidarm of previous existing Nidarm. That's the Shaila. So let's see, the Ran on the next page explains this to mean. See, the Ran, a few narrow lines down, he says, V'chi tema trei kroi lamali lomar she'ein habal mefer v'kodman. V'l'hachi hadar v'kosev v'im beis isha nadar alashminin she'ein habal mefer nidarim she'kan melo kodman she'nasa. So, two things. One is when she's married. The first pasuk tells me when she's married, the husband has the right to mefer the nidarim. But it also means why, when she's married, only the nidarim that she takes while she is married, does the husband have the right to be made for it while they're married. But if it's a nether that came before they're married, then the husband wouldn't have the right to do that. That's the need for the two psukim.
Would he do it shutfist with the father, or would he do it? It would be the father.
Of the Komen sounds, the Pashup Shah, I thought, was that he would have no rights.
But that's, we see by, well, I guess at this point in time, we don't know about the concept of Nara Murasa needing two.
Correct.
Because Nara Murasa is someone who is before marriage, and you see that the Baal plays a role, but at this point, we wouldn't think he would do
right.
that.
Right. So it sounds like exactly he only has control of when she's married, but not from when she's before married. So, and that's why perhaps you need two psukim, both about Nesua. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Lab mi melech shmas mina. Is it not learned automatically? Meaning, the Ran explains, ha mi melech shmas mina. Dibim beis isha l'chudei sagi. When it tells us that any nidarm she has while she's married, the husband has the exclusive rights to be made for them, does not also teach us that he's only made for on things that she takes, nidarm she makes while being married, but not things from Kodman? So why is that so?
The pasuk says, in base isha nadra, if in the house of her husband she made the nidar.
That very pasuk is so. Tells us only
twice,
while
only those types of
. Okay, very good. So there's no need for a second pasuk to teach that first pasuk teaches both halachas. The husband has exclusive rights, and that only on the nedarim that's bebeis avia, bebeis isha rather, that are in the house while she's married, not any kodim. Therefore, this other pasuk is available to teach us about when she's in Arusa. That when she's in Arusa, it says, V'haya le'ish, the pasuk exactly again, V'im beis isha nadra, no, that's the wrong one, V'im hayo si le'ish, right? That pasuk, the Vav, tells me that both the husband and the father have the rights to be made for it when she is in Arusa. Mar says, Ibai Seima, another suggestion, how I know this other pasuk is referring to Kedushin / Erusin, the same thing, is because the Havaya, Kedushim Ashma, the pasuk says, Vim Hayo, so, Vim Hayo, I keep getting the pasuk wrong, Vim Hayu Se Leish, if she is a Leish, Lashon of Hayu Siya is Lashon of Havaya, Havaya, the Gemara in Kedushin tells us all over that Havaya is a Lashon of Kedushin. Vyatz Vahaisa is an example of that. Havaya's Kedushin is referring to when she's in Arusa. Asks the Ran an interesting question here. If you look at the Ran in the middle of the Dibur Maschil, it's two narrow lines up. It says V'chi Tema. It's in the middle of the Dibur Maschil V'bay Seima. V'chi Tema Nehida Havaya Kedushin Mashma. Granted that Havaya does imply Kedushin, but Nesu'in Nami Mashma, it also implies Nesu'in. It doesn't only mean Kedushin. D'habi Yavamos Daf Samech Amrinan D'chorin Mitami La'chosa Arusa, that a Kohen is allowed to be Mitami to seven closest relatives, one of them being their sister. But the pasuk says in Emor, but to Achusa, Achoso Nesua, he's not allowed to be Mitami. Once she's married, she's out of the family, he cannot be Mitami for to her if she dies. But if she's Arusa, then he's still allowed to marry her. Umok Mikra, the Vachosa Absula Hakrova Elav, Ashaloa Hayasa Leish, Bishina Asas. The pasuk says, when can he be metame to his sister? When she's still basula, that's krova to him, that wasn't laisa lisa, that wasn't married yet. It was haisa, their mean, nisua, that she wasn't married yet, as nisua, not as erisim. Alma, we see from that pasuk that drash and gemara, havaya nami nisuin mashma. The chayim shekain, now that being the case, name of the bain kedushin, bain ben nisuin, avia ubaila mefir nidra. So you can interpret it to be both. So, answer the round lesser. It's obvious, the moment she gets married, the father has no rights to her anymore. So you can never have thought that to be the case, that this is really talking about Nisuin. He's bringing a different answer than the Gemara is answering, I think. You never would have thought that marrying the father still has rights, because she's left the rishus of the father. V'od, moreover, d'haksiv v'im beis isha nadra dama bal mefer l'chudei. Also, that the pasuk Nisuin tells us that the husband has full rights. So you can't bring another pasuk now that tells me that the father and husband have rights together. So the Ran is basically asking what the Gemara is asking, but giving two different answers that the Gemara doesn't give, I think. I mean, these would have been other answers you could have given as to why our pasuk is basically referring to Kedushin, not referring to Nisuin. Okay. The long run here, of Rashamin. Okay. There seems to be the Rush, by the way, doesn't ask this question. The Rush says, the fact that the pasuk says here, Vim Hayu Siyel Ish, tells us Erison, and the Rush says, and it doesn't say Lashon Tinase, it doesn't say Lashon Tilakach, tells us that it's not referring to Nisun. So it seems from the Rush that it's Pasha that the word Havaya does not indicate Nisun at all. Ron has a good question from the Gemara there, but maybe there's another interpretation of that Gemara. Okay, the Gemara now says, Se'ema, that's up to, I think, Ema avlechu de mefer. Maybe the father himself should have the rights of mefer the Nadarim when she's in Arusa, without the rights of the Arus, without the rights of the husband. But the Arus, right, again, but the Arus would have the right, is that right? Rather, maybe the father has exclusive rights to mefer, but the Arus, if he wants to mefer, he needs the partnership of the father. That's if you look at the Ran here, I think that's the explanation. The Ran says, six medium wide lines down, Ema avlechu de lefer. Nearly, the avlechu de lefer hu de kashile. The question of the Gemara is, maybe the father should have the rights alone to be mefer the nadarm of his daughter who's now engaged. Dechayven de lo yatsamer sh'av, since she never has entirely left the rishus of the father, like we wrote above, b'dinhu d'mati mefer v'arislo. So the father should still have his right that he always had to be made for the nadarm, and the husband should have no right. Usmichusa And the fact that it's juxtaposed, v'im hayu se'lihin haynu lomar da'aris bayav, and that fact that the next pasuk says v'im tells us that the husband now has rights, but he only has rights with the partnership of the father. V'aris de'kasa rachmana lomar she'im heikim hukam k'daminim b'samach al hadav. So that's the question of the Gemara. Question, yeah?
It comes out the husband really has no rights.
Yeah, in essence.
It's the husband, the father, and the father.
Exactly. It might be the answer to the Gemara, but exactly, the husband's not doing, conceptually he might be doing something, but practically the father always needs to make the decision. Right, because conceptually you could be saying that, no, if the husband does it, so the husband had a partial chelek and be made from the nedarim and the father has the other chelek. So, but practically you need the husband, the father rather, whether the father's acting alone or he's simply affirming the hafara of the husband. So the Gemara says again, "Ema avlechu day mefer." Or say, "Imkain, if the father had the rights alone to mefer, imkain, the pasuk should say, v'asra yisr base avia and niosa lamali." Why do you need that pasuk of any nether that she took when she was in the father's house? Hashi, you could say, "Hashi yishlom b'makom aris mefer avlechu day shelo b'makom aris mibay." So if you're telling me now that the father, even when she's engaged, the father has full rights to be made for it on his own, since certainly before she gets engaged, where there's no husband, then the father certainly has the full exclusive rights of being made for the dharm. So don't teach me the pasuk about that. Just talk about the case of Arusa, and Mimela, you'll learn the case when she's not Arusa, that the father has full rights. So the fact that, and therefore, it must be that even when even though she's only engaged, the father is not allowed to take, cannot be made for the nadarm unless he's doing in the partnership with the husband. So then the Gemara says, "Ema av liboy aris v'aris l'chudei mefer." Maybe the opposite. Maybe the father, in order for the father to be made for, he needs the assistance of the aris. But from the aris perspective, he can be made for the nadarm on his own. And the same question: in essence, all you really need is the aris. In this case, the father is unnecessary from a practical standpoint. So Gemara says, "V'chi teima av dekaz rachman alamali." So if that's the case, that you're suggesting that the Aris should be able to act on his own, so why do you have to mention the father at all? Because I guess basically what your question is, the father's not playing any role? Whether Ms. Sitta says no, it's what your question was, that the father's not playing any role here. If you always need the Arus, so why mention the letter Vav to have the father play a role here when she's in Arusa? He's in essence doing nothing. That's how it says here.
Just didn't ask that question before.
It didn't, I agree. I don't know why. Why they ask it now, not then. Maybe they could have asked the question before, and they had a different question they wanted to ask here. Maybe there's no other question, so they had to rely on this question instead. I don't see the run.
The Rosh says that you're saying from your subject. Why do you need a tzarech la'arif ha'faris ha'de'aris?
Right. Okay, fine. So again, so Gemara asks, maybe really when she gets engaged, the husband should be able to have exclusive rights to be made for the nadarim, but if the father wants to be made for it, he needs the partnership of the husband. Gemara says, and if you're going to say, what do you need this for? Just remove the father from the picture, because the father can never act on his own. He always needs the aris to help him out. So if you just remove him from the picture, don't mention him, because he's not really playing any role. Gemara says, not true. You still need Bala, you still need the role of the father, because the Hakim, he's not a non-factor. If he's making the nether, you're right, he can't be Mayfair without the husband. But he could prevent the husband from being Mayfair. By him being making his daughter's nedarim, that's going to be Chal. So there is a relevance that the father could still play. So maybe we could still suggest that the husband, when he's Mayfair, he can Mayfair it on his own if the father's quiet. And if the husband wants to be made for it, if the father wants to be made for it, then he needs the hafara of the husband as well. That's the Gemara's kasha. And the answer to the Gemara, Imkain, if that were to be the case, what we're suggesting, base isha nadra l'may kasuf. It's some girsos here. I see a lot of them. The Ron has something, a completely different read here, it seems.
Why do you need the next pasuk that tells you when she gets married in the and she's only in his house, the husband, that he is mefer. Because you already know when they're engaged, he has the power really to make the hafara.
So certainly in the case when they're married. Okay, let's see that inside again. Mara says, Imkain, if that were to be the case, what we're suggesting that the husband has the full rights to be mefer, Imkain, base isha nadra l'may kasef. So why do we have to have a case of that the husband has full rights when they're now married? Kavachomer to kavachomer. Ma b'malkum av. Just if in a case when they're engaged where the father is still a factor, arus mefer l'chudei, the husband still has rights to be mefer on his own. Shelo b'malkum av, in a case where the father is no longer a factor, meaning she's married and left the reshus entirely from her husband or from her father, be barred if they teach me that the husband now has full rights to be mefer. That's kal vachomer. So the fact that we need to write the pasuk that when they're married, the husband has full rights, tells us when they're not married, they're only engaged, the husband does not have full rights. He rather works in partnership with the father. Mar asks now another question. Ema say, im beis isha nadra lomar she'ein habal mefer bekodman. So what's the shaila here? Where's the Ran? The Rad says the bottom line here, a few three lines up rather. Ema im base isha nadra lomar shein habal mefer bekodmim ulmiute hu de itzrich. Let's make the mefarsh is clear. Maybe you could say again. Maybe really the husband of the arus can be made for the Dharma on his own.
So why do you need the pasuk by the Baal? You need the pasuk by the Baal to tell you he can't be made for the Kol Min.
That's the Chiddush. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ema, the pasuk of Im Beis Isha Nadra, Lomar Shein Abak made for Mekodmin. That's the answer. The Gemara says, no, Umine Aris made for Mekodmin, Ela Mishim Shutvoseh Da'av. Meaning what? So the Ran explains at the bottom here, Umine klomer mimai de amris de baal ein mefer bekodmin. That which we learned that baal is not able to be mefer earn pre-existing the dharm. Shmeina, we learn from this, she'ein aris mefer ela bishitfoseh de'av. We learn from this that the aris is only able to be mefer with the partnership of the father. The ha'av, the aris mefer bekodmin, they both have the rights to be mefer an earlier nidarm. Okay, the masha mivin nidara aleha, nidara shayu ala kvar, the nidarm that ready were on her. V'heichev shal daris mefer v'lo baal. V'lo avit should probably be. No, it's baal. V'lo baal, ela. La mishum shitfoseh de av de mefer bekula de gavi av lekta kodmin. Not following this answer here.
I think it's saying that how could it be if it was coming to tell us that miyot that a baal can't be mefer bekodmin, how could it make sense that while he's an aris, he can be mefer bekodmin alone? Because we have no miyot by a mefer bekodmin, and there is no kodmin. He's not a baal. He's an aris, right? So how could it be that while he's an aris, he could be made for Bekodman, he doesn't need the father's help, right? And then, all of a sudden, she gets married, and his koach is worse as a married husband than it was as an aris, that he can't be made for Bekodman without the help of the father.
So it must be that we learn Mimela that in Kodman works. You don't need a pasuk to teach me he can't be made for Kodman. It's obvious, and therefore the pasuk becomes available to teach me the halachas of Nisuin. The second case is the case of Nisuin, and the first case is the case of Arusa. Okay. hard stuff. I have much more to say than that.
It seems like this is going to just go on for blah and blah.
No, but I have a period in mind, which is a good sign. Okay. Yeah, these periods. So the next topic is probably related, but not necessarily a continuation of the Shakla Atari here. But okay, certainly a bit challenging. A lot of cheshbonos.